All-Star is yet another time where we are all focused on the same games. I was at the Sky game last night, but that doesn't mean I didn't watch a lot of the home run derby when I got home. And I think you find yourself asking, with all of us watching the same thing at the same time, does Major League Baseball All-Star festivities, because it's not a weekend.
It felt like a weekend. It did. It's crazy, right?
To them it is, because they never know what day it is. But does the Major League All-Star game, home run derby, and their days of action, does that deserve the same scrutiny, and does it need to be reinvented in the same way we've had the conversations about the NFL and the NBA, the Pro Bowl, which is now Pro Bowl games, or trying to figure out the concept of NBA All-Star, which they have discussed could be USA versus the world or something? Does last night and does today make you ask yourself if we need to adjust the Midsummer Classic?
So the beautiful thing here is that, yes, it deserves the same amount of scrutiny we have put on the other major sports leagues, whether that is the All-Star game in the NBA and the dunk contest, which went away and came back, and people are arguing it should go away again, unless you're Mac McClung and you're like, I need that payday every year. And then the NHL, they've switched it up, and they seem to have the most successful, or at least popular, iteration rebrand of their game by going with the Four Nations tournament in lieu of a traditional All-Star game. The U.S. versus world is the thing they're going to try this year with the NBA. Pro Bowl games, some people love it. Some people are like, this is dumb. They want football, but we know they can't have real football. That's the one thing we know. They can't have real football because of the injury concerns and everything else. I think it does deserve the same amount of scrutiny. I just don't think it needs to be redone, at least not right now.
I think once you've reached the point in all of these sports where there's so much money riding on each individual, it's worth the discussion. When you consider, and I kept track of this because it was something I was counting last night after I got home from the Sky game, as I mentioned, we will talk about that because it was on the score and we love doing that. 16 players had replacements in the All-Star game. That's for tonight. So when you consider that, and also the report from Bob Nightingale that before they got to Jacob Mizorowski, there were 12 pitchers. He said a dozen who declined.
That name's Christopher Sanchez, apparently.
Correct. So in my opinion, it's worth that discussion. I think the biggest thing to keep in mind when it comes to all of this is, because everybody's getting paid so much, the flip side is, if something happens, is it worth going down for? If you're getting paid what you're getting paid in the NBA, is it worth doing the dunk contest? Why are we talking about Matt McClung? Because we're not talking about guys anymore like Aaron Gordon or even Zach LaVine in that discussion. You know, and at the same time, I feel like you could make the same argument for the home run derby, where we're not seeing the traditional players, because after guys like Todd Frazier, who won in a way that I think still gripped the nation at the time in 2015, he said it messed up his swing for the rest of the year.
And there's actually been scientific studies and the numbers have been run, and it does mess up your swing. Players who participate in the home run derby, by and large, are less productive after the All-Star break than they were before the All-Star break in terms of home run percentages.
And if that's the case, and I understand trying to mix it up, we'll get into this a little bit later in the show, in our next segment, about how you do it. And I understand that networks are going to say, oh, we're going to present it in a different way. We'll get into that in our next segment. But just on its face, when you look at it, like, one of the most successful adjustments, I think, has been the NHL skills competition, because so much of hockey does require skill. And I feel like it's aspirational in a way where, if you didn't grow up on ice, for example, you didn't grow up with ice time, then that's something where you're enthralled as a sports fan watching how people do this. They successfully brought in Kendall Coyne Schofield to bring in the Olympic side of it as well, and to include, I think, a really savvy way of including the women's sport in it as well, because they measured speed in that way, and it was a really fun element to watch, at least for me personally. That was something I do think was successful. Four Nations Cup, as I mentioned before, was really successful on the women's side. So to give it just a little more publicity, I appreciate them doing that, because it is a really fun event. The NHL has done a good job, I think, almost out of necessity, for having to change how they do things. But when you consider sports like baseball, where all eyes are on the Midsummer Classic, or you consider the Pro Bowl games, as you and I have discussed, or what to do about All-Star, all of this NBA All-Star, all of this stands, I think, to be discussed, because you know you're not getting a 100% authentic product in the representation of people. Does it matter to still be named an All-Star? Absolutely. Get your paper, too.
Get your paper.
Get your accolades. But as far as how we interpret it and how we see it, I still love the Home Run Derby, but how do you consider it when they're trying to gamify it in a way? Like, we should have had, a for lack of a better term, a swing-off last night. Like, we should have had Junior Caminero and Cal Raleigh go back and forth. Like, that should have been a shootout-style duel. I don't know why they didn't just do that instead of this billionth of an inch with StatCast discussion. You know, that's a way to build interest. And like, what are we watching then last night instead of like the Pat McAfee Faux Strip Club interview or intro? We're watching the swing off between Junior Caminero and Cal Raleigh. Like, there were ways to build in intrigue that I think would have still gripped all of us, and we'd been sharing those video clips that don't necessarily include personalities trying to not quite be 100% themselves in broadcast form.
Just to clarify what you're talking about when you talk about the ways that we decide tiebreakers, they had StatCast out here, I mean, going full StatCast, because Brent Rooker actually tied Cal Raleigh in the home runs. They both hit 17 home runs
right
in the first round. And the way they determined the tiebreak is by StatCast saying who hit the longest home run. And the leaderboard had Cal Raleigh at 470.62 feet. And Rooker's longest home run at 470.54 feet. That is 0.96 inches. And that's the only reason the Big Dumper even got to the finals. Now, I think for the show of it, the right person won the Home Run Derby last night. If you're Major League Baseball, you are ecstatic that this switch-hitting catcher who leads baseball in home runs, who plays after dark in Seattle that not everybody is super familiar with, the casual baseball fan, Major League Baseball is loving that Cal Raleigh won the home run contest.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, it's Cal Raleigh's year and we're all living in it, and I understand that. But when Major League Baseball makes a big deal about their accuracy and they talk about, for example, you know, what it comes down to, and they're trying to build this excitement, and you really say you have the best of the best, then it shouldn't come down to a billionth of an inch, which we all question in a way as sports fans, because you can't estimate the footage of where a ball lands in a real-time game that counts. So what do you mean you're telling me now that you can go to that length to estimate how far it went? And also, if so, why aren't you just including that technology in everything else?
Listen,
I'm especially looking at NFL here, who has already said they have a chip in the ball via previous reports.
They got the miles per hour down there. We're talking about the Home Run Derby here on Raheemy and Harrison, and these quotes from Cal Raleigh and Brent Rooker sum up the level of, I don't know what's going on. This is Cal Raleigh. Quote, yeah. It happened so fast. They said there was a tiebreaker. Obviously, I knew, because in the final round, I was talking to somebody and they're like, you've got to get two more to get to 17 to tie Rooker. Honestly, I forgot the rule. I didn't know if it was a swing off or distance. Somebody told me and I was like, that's insane, like crazy. But listen to Rooker, Layla. Yeah, that's interesting. Last I knew, we were both at 471. Oh, we have the audio?
Yeah.
Oh, well, play the audio.
I think I sent it last night, too.
Okay. Play that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't, I know we're both at 471, because that's obviously the number that they put up there. You know, maybe if they have it to the decimal point, they should display that during the Derby and not wait till everyone's done to bring out that information. That might be helpful.
I don't know if you know how accurate StatCast is on measurements, but when it's less than an inch, you think maybe something like a swing off might be a better way.
Yeah, maybe. It is what it is. I obviously had a great time out there. Cal's a great competitor. He had to put on a good performance, too. So, you know, rules are the rules in terms of what makes up the semifinals.
Did you not get your full complement of pitches in the first round?
Yeah, I think I only had 38 balls in my crate. I think we were shorted two balls there. I think I didn't get two pitches that I think I was allotted, I guess.
You didn't want to explain that?
Yeah, I think they told me before I went up there that I could go take two pitches, but we didn't know when they told me that there were only 40 balls already in the crate. So I took two pitches that didn't count, but then when we went to do the round, there was only 38 remaining. So we got down to have two pitches with like 5 seconds left, and we were out of baseballs.
And so, yeah, and I found this. For whatever reason, Twitter is not working on my work computer. So I found the numbers that I bookmarked here. The number between Brent Rooker and Cal Raleigh. Are you ready for this? You ready to hear a bunch of numbers coming at you like a fake Twitter account?
I love numbers.
Brent Rooker, 470.535174053. Cal Raleigh, 470.617-145-2141.
Oh, I thought 470 was the area code. My bad. I thought you were giving me your phone number.
It does sound like a fake Twitter account. But again, I don't know how you do that because without some sort of chip in the ball, because rate times time equals distance, well, you don't know at what rate stuff is being hit necessarily or the time because of the, you know the exit velocity, but you don't know the speed of which it's being thrown, I guess.
My problem is...
And exactly where it lands, which is the most important part.
Where it lands is estimated. Because right. If it lands higher in one area versus lower in another area, it's all an estimation.
Does this look like an estimation to you?
I don't know. I don't
know. Just have them go head-to-head at that point. What's another 10 swings of a bat?
Well, I will say this. I guarantee you, if they had gone head-to-head and done a swing-off, that person would not have won the whole thing. This is an exhausting marathon of an event.
It is. It absolutely is. And we've seen that. Whether it was Todd Frazier, Josh Hamilton comes to mind, of course. There is an aspect of strength in this.
And endurance.
And whether or not you survive for the rest of the season. Like if you're an American League team, especially in the AL West, you're like, yeah, go ahead, Cal Raleigh. Swing the bat as many times as you want today.
My thing when I look at this, Layla, is that it makes me very thankful, and I think Cubs fans feel this way, Pete Crow Armstrong was not involved in this. You don't want to mess up his swing.
But see, that's the issue, is it's not the same. You know, you're not getting the 1977 All-Star game, for example, with how many Hall of Famers played that game. I just told you that there were 16 players who declined, a reported 12 by Bob Nightingale for one position, estimated. It comes down to a rookie who's only made 5 starts getting an All-Star or not. That guy's going to get paid more now if there's an All-Star incentive in his contract, for example, or at least he gets a designation next to his name because he had 5 good starts. You know, so that's why I asked the question.
Only 4 of the 5 starts were good, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Well, cumulatively.
Yeah, I got you.
But the point is, do we need to reinspect this? You know, one of the best aspects, I think, of what baseball does during this time is the futures game. And now that gets a bit overshadowed because of the draft.
Yeah, I didn't like them moving the futures game. I like the futures game to be on the Sunday and then the home run derby on the Monday and then the All-Star game on the Tuesday. That's the formula I like. Also, on top of that, looking at this now and how much this home run derby has evolved already. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They keep reinventing it and changing the rules. I do like the 2 minutes, 40 pitches, whichever one comes first, because it keeps it moving.
It does, and not just that, but I think it saves the batter's shoulders and your obliques a little bit, you know, which I think is a good thing. But like 630 says to us, MLB invited Tucker to be in the Derby. Thank God he didn't. And that's where I'm going with this. You know, I feel bad that you want to see your favorite hitter or somebody who means the most to you on your team in one of these, but you understand the risk that comes along with it. Similar to the duck contest. Great for guys like Mac McClung, who's now I consider like a paid ringer, but not great for guys who you really want to see who you know, like your favorite dunkers in game, for example. And I'll never forget like Aaron Gordon being in the dunk contest and how wonderful that was
Was just the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine was special.
Yeah. But those are the ones, that's what you think about when you think about the authenticity of these skill contests.
The problem
you know,
is,
you think about those moments.
We're so used to getting the best and then measuring things against the best. So that if it's not the best, it's lesser than. And lesser than becomes not good enough. And it's unrealistic in terms of our expectations. I will say this. I like this suggestion right here by 262 on the text line in regards to the home run derby. Why not total all 17 home runs for each and just add up the total distance and whoever has total distance wins?
Well, yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. And let's face it, life is sometimes a measuring contest, if you will.
Measure those distances.
This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. The segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. So those are some of the structural issues that we talk about when it comes to what was the best answer. What was the best answer last night for the Home Run Derby?